Rap and hip-hop have been around for decades, of course. They've now become one of America's most successful cultural exports. But you might be surprised to learn that only 5 songs and albums from those genres are represented in the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry.
1989, the number, another summer. Sound of the funky drummer.
A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too.
I said a hip hop, the hip to the hip, hip hop, you don't stop the rocker to the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat.
Pour some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama.
When it comes to being Taylor, it's just me, myself, and I.
Every year, the Library of Congress adds recordings to the registry that they say are important to America's culture and history. This year, 25 new recordings were added. None of them were hip-hop, though. Joining us to talk about it is William Boone. He's a professor in the English and African American Studies Department at Winston-Salem State University and founder of Afro Blue Media. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going, Celeste?
Good. I wonder, first of all, before we get started on the hip-hop not being included this year, we just heard the message from Grandmaster Flash, Rapper's Delight, with the Sugar Hill Gang, of course, Fear of a Black Planet, Public Enemy, Dear Mama from Tupac Shakur, and 3 Feet High and Rising De La Soul. Any problem with those?
No. I think these are very, very, very good selections in that they represent a broad sort of scope of hip-hop music. So I don't have a problem with what the registry has included. I guess my problem is what they've excluded.
So I should say that the Library of Congress responded when we reached out to them and said, quote, "The National Recording Registry really does represent all facets of America's soundscape and its rich diversity. Nominations are gathered through online submissions from the public and the National Recording Preservation Board, which is comprised of leaders in the fields of music, recorded sound, and preservation," unquote. So, William Boone, your response, I assume if you had been on this recording preservation board, you have ideas on what you would have added. What would you have included this year?
Wow, that's a great question. There's a couple albums that I think would really better represent not only American musical culture, but the hip-hop generation. I don't see how they could omit Run DMC. Feel as though Run DMC is not only a seminal group, but they are archetypal in their approach to hip-hop music, particularly their 1985 album King of Rock, where they merge hip-hop and rock sensibilities.
So if they're collecting things that are historically relevant, and in a way it's almost like they're creating a time capsule for people, I kind of think of it. What are the qualities that a song or an album needs to have to make it onto that? I mean, obviously, the things that you study may not be the things that somebody in the National Registry might consider important, right? They're not hip-hop scholars. They're trying to create a large picture.
Right. Well, I would say that I think the music should be representative of a given era or a given region. So, for example, Nas's Illmatic. Illmatic had such a profound impact on not only the New York sound and hip-hop sound, but in terms of the topics that were covered within hip-hop. So, you know, I think at the very least these songs, these albums should be representative of a certain era, a certain moment, a certain cultural moment.
Rappers are monkey flipping with the funky rhythm. I be kicking, musician, inflicting composition of pain. I'm like Scarface, sniffing cocaine, holding an M16. See with the pen, I'm extreme. Now, bullet holes left.
I wonder, to what extent should a song that's included also be popular? Does something that's really important have to be popular? Does it have to reach a certain number of people before it becomes a historical artifact?
Not necessarily, because I think we have to be careful there as we walk the tightrope between, say, popular music and art, if you will. So I wouldn't necessarily say it had to be popular, but I would say that I would judge it more by impact. So another album that I hope makes it onto the registry is 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying. And so there's popular success there, but not only did 50 Cent's narratives impact the way hip-hop artists dealt with realism, 50 Cent has had a profound impact on the business landscape. So in that regard, I think it should perhaps be, the impact should be multidimensional, multi-layered.
Let me put it to you this way. Let's say that I'm on the board, and I'm helping to choose what the 25 archival recordings will be, right? And we have to include great political statements, right? Maybe we're going to include something from the Mandela Memorial. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're going to include something else that marks a moment in time. And say that there's a few spots left, you kind of have to include all of music. And yes, hip-hop is ubiquitous, but an argument could be made that you have to put in Let It Go from Frozen. That's pretty ubiquitous also. And you're laughing, but it's everywhere.
Right. 2 points. One, I think hip-hop emerges in an era of skepticism. So I think that's important to note. And so...
Wait, could you explain a little further what you mean? It emerges in an era of skepticism.
Yes,
what does that mean?
So in the 1980s, hip-hop was viewed, and actually all the way up into the 90s, as sort of this disposable, ephemeral art form. Okay, it won't last. These are just kids. You know, this is not important. And so, you know, hip-hop has, since its inception, been kind of pushing back on these dominant narratives. You know, we're here to stay, essentially. You know, so you fast forward some 40 years later, and it's still here, and it doesn't seem to be fading away. So I think there's a bit of maybe generational bias there, a bit out of touch as it relates to the pulse of American culture.
And we should also point out that if you're going to go onto the Library of Congress list, the song or selection has to be at least 10 years old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That would bring us right now, obviously it's 2014, so that would bring us up to 2004. So what did we miss from the early 2000s? That you think is most important for us to get in there? You mentioned Run DMC, you mentioned Nas. What else are we missing? Do we need to get Jay-Z in there?
I'm not sure if we can include Jay-Z, but clearly he's made an impact. I would answer that yes, but before we talk about Jay-Z, I think we have to talk about the precursors to Jay-Z, somebody like a group like A Tribe Called Quest. And again, I think that's the significance of hip-hop, and that it's bricolage. It brings a lot of different elements together to create a sort of a narrative. So A Tribe Called Quest's first album, People's Instinctive Travels in the Paths of Rhythm. They come together to create essentially a new sound, and a new American sound, because jazz, as we know, is an American art form.
Bonita, Bonita, Bonita.
And then also, I would maybe include Outkast, because there's always a sort of New York-centric bias in hip-hop. And so the South is usually excluded. So I would definitely have to include Outkast, Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music 1994 album. Because, again, it made a national impact within the genre, but then also outside of the genre, as Andre 3000 has moved on into film and various other avenues and arenas.
Yeah, even animated cartoon shows for kids.
Yes.
What do you think hip-hop will tell future generations? Eventually, the genre will either evolve into something completely different or disappear in one way or another. So, 100 years from now, looking back, the same way that we look back at Scott Joplin's Rags, what do we learn about our culture by listening to these hip-hop songs?
Well, I think the first thing that we'll remember looking back, as we look back at our historical memory, I think we have to... come to grips with the fact that America is still struggling with certain things, whether it be race, whether it be poverty, whether it be violence. And so I think hip-hop offers an exciting opportunity to look back on these moments and not only chronicle history and culture in America and the tension between generations and communities, I think it's also a great American story in regards to the way young black folk, young poor folk, folk of color in America are grappling with these things, commercialism, hyper-consumption. These are things that are not only central to young people, but central to the American experience.
And what, having hip-hop included and rap included at all on the Library of Congress, does that make a difference to what you were talking about earlier in terms of the skepticism surrounding this genre?
Yes.
Does it matter?
Yes. And I don't want to paint the Library of Congress as a villain, because I think they've done a good job. I just think they're a bit out of touch. I mean, these things can happen when we're talking about institutions that go back 200 or 300 years. I think it is commendable, but there's more work to do, if you will.
Message from William Boone to the Library of Congress: get with the times. William Boone is professor in the English and African American Studies Department at Winston-Salem State University, and he joined us from that campus. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Celeste. Have a good one.
But I move just like Lou Brock with speed. I'm agile, plus I'm worth your while. 100% intelligent black child.